And this is Shattering Myths. Each weekday morning on the Genesis Communication Network, we strive to expose and condemn the beguiling and destructive myths associated with religion and politics, with patriotism and the media, and with military and economic schemes. If you listen, we'll open your eyes and change your mind towards each of these things upon which most people foolishly and counterproductively cling. Instead of merely presenting the news this morning, our mission will be to help you understand what's really occurring behind the headlines. We will reveal the motivations of the perpetrators and share what you can do to protect your family, all while predicting how these events will shape America and the world over the next 20 years. Then during our second hour, we will engage Yahweh, that's God's one and only name, on His terms by way of His one and only covenant, which is the only means to form a relationship with Him, and through His always dependable Torah, which means teaching, not law, so that with God's guidance, you will be able to replace religion with reason. Our phone number, if you would like to criticize, affirm, or question anything I have to say, is 877-300-7645. I would also encourage those who would just like to read how the conclusions that are being presented on this program were formed, I would invite you to go to introtogod.org, introtogod.org. Everything you find there will be free. Turning to the news, I found the juxtaposition of two stories interesting this morning. The first of them deals with the myth of the Palestinian people, the myth of a place called Palestine, the utter stupidity of trading land for peace, and, of course, the notion that the world is so messed up that the leaders, political, religious, media, leaders of our world are so upside down in their thinking that they would actually say that a terrorist gang, a terrorist institution, a group of people who have almost exclusively terrorism in their history and terrorism in their future deserve a state recognized by the United Nations. The 193-nation UN General Assembly on Thursday, according to Reuters, overwhelmingly approved the de facto recognition of the sovereign state of Palestine. God, that makes me mad. Oh, damn. In fact, I can say goddamn because goddamn is not swearing. Goddamn is a sentence. Goddamn means that God disassociates himself and severs any relationship with such stupidity, such ignorance, such grotesque immorality. The Philistines were the enemy of Israel. They were destroyed 2,600 years ago. There is no trace of the Philistines today. There is no trace of their land. There is no trace of their culture. There is no trace of their race. They have long ceased to exist. There is no such thing as a Palestinian people. There is no such place as Palestine. And to buy into that myth in the one place that God separated from every other place in the world to provide reconciliation, to introduce himself to humankind, to make it possible for us to form a relationship with him, the very place in this world where God himself came to save us is an abomination. There are very few things that humankind could have done that God would have found more offensive than what the majority of the world's nations did in the United Nations yesterday. There is nothing that upsets God more than this. And if you are among those who favored this, understand that the consequence of this will be your judgment, and it will not turn out well for you. President Mahmoud Abbas, now to call him a Palestinian president is a myth on two levels. He was not elected. In fact, he was defeated soundly in the last round of elections. He did not even garner a third of the vote. And there is no such thing as a Palestinian. Called on the world body to issue a long overdue birth certificate. You know, God in Yirmiyahu, and again Yahusha on the Mount of Olives, told us about how to associate birth pangs with the end of days, and how the world would focus its attention on Yisrael, and that most would oppose it. And that would be, that terrorism and world wars would be part of those birth pangs. There is probably no birth pang more painful from God's perspective than severing off a portion of his land, of his realm, of the promised land, of his home to Muslims who overtly worship Satan. There is nothing we could have done as a world more egregious than this. In Islam, Allah is Satan. Allah spends all of his time in hell torturing people. Allah wants to be worshipped, wants people to bow down to him. Allah refers to himself as the Lord. He is Satan. Muhammad claimed that upon his first revelation that he was demon-possessed. His last farewell sermon, he talked about being demon-possessed. The Quran is Satan's manifesto. It presents Satan as if he were God, to be worshipped by man. And now the world saw fit to give a nation, not anywhere, but carved out of Israel, to these Satan-worshipping terrorists. Abbas is a member of the Palestinian Liberation Organization. Prior to the rise of Al-Qaeda, the PLO was the most ruthless terrorist organization in the world. It is a bloody, murderous, torturous wreck of an institution. Hello, Scott.
I was going to say that not only did they vote to give them their statehood, but they did it resoundingly. Of the 193 countries in the General Assembly, 138 voted to recognize Palestine.
And 41 abstained.
41 abstained, and only 9, including the U.S., voted against it.
Correct. Overwhelmingly. That tells you just how revolting the world is. That you would give a nation to a group of terrorists. On one side, you've got the PLO. On the other side, you have Hamas, two of the most ruthless and repulsive Islamic terrorist organizations in history. In fact, perhaps the two worst Islamic terrorist organizations in history. And you gave a nation to them, and it's a nation carved out of Israel, which is the only place in the Middle East that has some sense of sanity. It's the only place where freedom and education and opportunity exist. And what you do is you take land away from them to give a nation to people who already have way too much land and have known nothing but poverty, who have known nothing but religious intolerance, who have known nothing but terrorism.
It also shows.
I thought that you interrupted here for a moment just to calm me down, because I'll tell you what. I'm probably 1% as mad as God is on this day. But I'm really angry. Very few things anger me more than people doing this kind of stupidity, because it's poking a finger in God's eye. And, you know, while I still live on this planet, I don't like the consequence of that, because I know exactly how God is reacting to this today.
It also shows you how good the propaganda machine is for, like, the Hamas and the PLO and things like that, to where that they convinced 138 countries that they were a victim of something, or that they were deserving of something that they've never had.
Correct. There has never been a Palestinian state. There's never been a Palestinian people. Ever. And when the reason we call this program Shattering Myths is because if you are beguiled by myths and you believe that there is such thing as the Palestinian people, if you believe there's such thing as a state called Palestine, if you believe that terrorist organizations deserve states, if you believe that the way to solve the 1400-year assault of Muslims against Jews is to give them part of Jerusalem and part of Israel, then I want to tell you, you are an absolute nincompoop. You ought not be breathing air and taking it away from anybody else on this planet. You are an absolute moron. And look at the number of nations whose leaders voted for that. It is a stunning beyond stupid. Israel has less than 0.2% of the Middle East. Muslims have 99.8% of the Middle East. What is the one thing Muslims do not need more of? Land. What is the one thing Muslims have never offered Jews?
Land.
Ever.
Land.
Peace. Peace. They have never offered. Well, you're right. And by the way, I appreciate the calm tone of your voice. I am probably more emotional this morning than I probably should be, but this is a very serious issue. We have just as a race of not a race, but as a species, told God that we hate him, that we disregard everything that he stands for, and that we as a species stand not only apart from God, but in opposition to him. The reality is that, and we had a guest on this program, and I've done this many times, but the guest traced the history of Islamic anti-Semitism directly to Muhammad, and we systematically went through Muhammad's assault on Jews, and why the Quran is so anti-Semitic, and why Muslims have begun hunting and killing Jews at their prophets and God's instructions since the day that Islam was first conceived. In the first year of the Islamic era, they began their assault on Jews, and 1,400 years later, they have not ceased, and they will never cease. And so there has never been a time where Muslims have been at peace with Jews. Their God, their prophet, their Quran, their hadith, their Sharia law orders them to hunt them down and kill them. And so as a reward for that, we give Muslims part of Israel. What is wrong with the world? How can people be this ignorant, this immoral, this irrational, this unbelievably stupid? Well, I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. We'll continue with this story when we return after the break.
How would...
Welcome back to Shattering Myths. Our number, if you would like to engage in this, would be a discussion. It's a little bit of a tirade this morning. 877-376-45. During the break, Scott, whose voice you heard in the first segment, said something that is really worth considering, which is that while I am and he is angry that the world has acted so immorally, so grotesquely, in this manner, rewarding a group of terrorists by giving them a country and carving it out of God's promised land, that God knew this was going to happen. I knew this was going to happen. He knew, Scott knew this was going to happen. It's written all over Scripture that there will be a reaffirmation of treaties that will be made with promises of peace to Israel, only to be broken after the nation becomes more vulnerable as a direct result of those peace initiatives, and that these will be significant aspects of the maneuverings of humankind in the last day as the vast preponderance of people position themselves with Satan and against Yahweh. So, did we know this was going to happen? Absolutely. In fact, we knew this was going to happen. If you read Scripture, you could have known this was going to happen 2,000, 3,000 years ago. And if you look at the world as it exists today, this was predictable even apart from Scripture decades ago. So we knew it was going to happen. God's actually witnessed it happening. He's witnessed the consequence of this happening. It doesn't change the reaction to it. Just because God knew it was going to happen doesn't make him any more or any less angry. In fact, God constantly, particularly in the prophetic book of Yirmiyahu, which was specifically written to Gentiles, those of us who are not Jewish by race, and specifically to inform us during the last days. It's a book written to expose and condemn religion and politics. It's kind of the foundational book. The Torah is the foundational book of this program. But in terms of the news aspect of this program, Jeremiah would be the book to form our proper perspective. And throughout it, God expresses his animosity towards religious and political institutions like the UN, like these nations, because of what they have done and will continue to do. So God is angry at humankind. And there's a consequence of that. Mankind has done the one thing amongst all things that is the single most injurious to God's perspective on us. Now, I'm angry, and, you know, I don't really have much skin in the game other than I'm a member of the covenant family. And so he's my father, and I feel for my father. And I feel because my father created this universe, and he conceived life, and he gave us humans so much opportunity with free will and with a soul to be observant and a conscience to be able to evaluate our circumstances. And so as I look at my dad suffering on this day, yes, I am tortured by this news. But consider him. He created this universe. He conceived life. He made it possible, a great personal sacrifice, for us to have a relationship with him. And this is what we do to him. This is how we thank him for that.
You should be mad, and he should be mad. If anybody messes around with your family, because that's what it is. It's your family. You're looking at your dad. You're saying you're seeing pain in his face.
Yes.
And he's looking at his children and a promise that he made that other people are trying to trying to take away. And he should be mad. And everybody should be mad if they're part of that family.
Yeah.
It is a family, and that's how families function.
Yeah, that's true. And understand, God's family is relatively small. Now, it's a big family by earthly standards. I don't know how many of you have thousands of children. So it's a very large family from a human perspective. But yet it's an extraordinarily small family from there's 7 billion people on the world today, and there's only thousands throughout time that become members of Yahweh's family. God's not angry, by the way, men have chosen to oppose him, even in his promised land. I don't think that's what bothers him. I think what bothers him is all of the wasted potential, all of the souls out there that had it not been for mankind's animosity for Yahweh, for his Torah, for his promise, for his covenant, would otherwise have embraced the covenant, would otherwise have observed the Torah, would otherwise have come to know him, would otherwise have chosen to be part of his family and not squandered their lives. And so it's the lost potential that would cause him to grieve. I'm Yada. This is Shattering Myths.
Hi, my...
Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. Scott correctly told us the numbers prior to the commercial break. There were 138 votes in favor of awarding Muslims a part of Israel. And there were 9 votes against the calling a mythical people and a mythical place a state and rewarding terrorists. There were 41 abstentions. 3 countries did not take part in the vote. Therefore, those that did not have a backbone, to those that were resolutely opposed to Yahweh and his Torah, The grand total was 182-9. That is over 20-1. Over 20-1, the world's nations favored Satan over Yahweh, favored lies over truth, favored terrorism over peace, favored ignorance and being completely irrational over knowledge and understanding. They said, you know, the solution to this world is let's ignore the fact that the 50 Islamic countries are living hellholes. They're examples of what hell is going to be like, what separation from God is like. They're impoverished. They're not free. They're governed by Sharia law. Let's consider that, or let's not consider that, and let's carve out another state committed to those hellish practices, and let's take it out of the one example in the entire Middle East that is civil. Well done, world.
Here's the nine countries that voted no, by the way. It was Israel, yes. The United States, Canada, Czech Republic, Panama, Marshall Islands, Micronesia, Nauru, and Palau. Or Palau, I'm sorry.
Whoa! So even Germany, who has said that they were going to vote against it, didn't in the end.
They didn't in the end, no.
Wow. And so, other than the United States and Canada, is there, was there and Israel, among the other six, was there a major nation in the group? Panama.
Panama and Czech Republic would be the other.
Okay, yeah. Well, Czech Republic. You know, Czechoslovakia used to be a real country, but they took what was already a small country and they, you know, severed it up in all sorts of little pieces. But still, credit to them. Credit to them.
Yeah.
To the rest of the world. You know, you like hell. You voted for hell. Enjoy it.
And to be fair, the Pacific Island nations, they have never voted against the U.S. They've always voted with them.
Okay. This particular statement, there were 138 votes in favor, 9 against, 41 abstentions. 3 countries did not take part in the vote. The vote was held, this is the interesting part, on the 65th anniversary of the adoption of the U.N. Resolution 181 that partitioned Palestine into a separate Jewish and Arab states. Now, this is what is, of course, interesting. There is no place called Palestine. It is a Roman myth. The Romans, in 133, following revolt that was motivated by Rabbi Akiba and his false messiah, Bar Kokhba. As a result of that revolt, the peaceful Romans came into Judea and thumped them. And brought 3 legions into Israel and salted the earth. They razed Jerusalem. They hauled off most Jews into slavery in Europe, and those they didn't haul off into slavery they killed, and they made it illegal for a Jew to live in Judea. And then to add insult to injury, they renamed Judea, which had been a Roman province, which had been a Greek province, which had been a historical country for over 1,000 years. They renamed the place Palestina after the long extinct Philistines. It's a mythical name. The whole world knows it's a mythical name. And so there is no partitioning of Palestine. There's no place called Palestine. And then they talk about that this was an affirmation on the anniversary of a resolution. The prophecy in Daniel, which speaks of a treaty being made between nations during the last days as that ushers in not only the Magog War, which is World War III and World War IV, because there's 2 phases of it. It specifically speaks of it being an affirmation of a treaty, the fact that it was voted on the anniversary of the adaptation of Resolution 181 is extraordinarily telling, is it not? Thousands of flag-waving Palestinians, this article says, in the West Bank. Now, there's 2 lies there. There's no such thing as a Palestinian, and if you don't understand that, then you have no hope of understanding the situation that exists there. in the West Bank. Well, that tells you everything you ought to know. It's called the West Bank only because it was the West Bank of the Jordan during the time it was part of Jordan. And the reason it was called the West Bank is it was just part of the country of Jordan. And during that time, when Jordan controlled what's called the West Bank today, did they form a Palestinian state? Did they call for an independent state for a unique race of people? Of course not. There was not even a mention of a unique race of people because these people are not unique racially. And Gaza was part of Egypt at the time. Was Gaza given statehood by the United Nations? Was there any discussion of giving Gaza statehood in the United Nations? Was there any discussion in Egypt that a unique race called Palestinians lived there and that they deserve their own autonomous state? No. No mention. This is all a modern-day myth cooked up by the Muslim Brotherhood for the express purpose of confusing people so that out of ignorance and grotesque immorality, the world would do this very thing that we witnessed yesterday.
Another thing, I dug some up on the internet, and they did the same vote in 2011, and they weren't successful in that. Five countries switched from an abstain from last year's vote to a yes. Mm-hmm. Italy, Denmark, Switzerland, Portugal, and Georgia. Three countries switched from a no to an abstain: Germany, Netherlands, and Lithuania.
And one let's go back to the ones that switched from either an abstain to a in favor of it, the first group. You have first of all, what you have in that group are the very countries right now that are on the cusp of economic collapse in Europe. Italy was one of them. Portugal was one of them, correct?
Italy, Denmark, Switzerland, Portugal, and Georgia, and then also one
right,
country from a no to a yes, and that was Sweden.
Okay. So you've got the two countries that are the most dysfunctional economically now in Europe. And you add to that Switzerland, which has been probably the most immoral country vis-a-vis their standing in war and their long-standing animosity to Jews in history. Much of the wealth of the Jewish families in Germany, when they were thrown into the concentration camps, was taken to Switzerland and never been returned. And so it is a hideous country as it relates to its long history with Jews. Now, the interesting country there was Georgia, the Georgian Republic. And the reason the Georgian Republic is also interesting, and by the way, these details I think are fascinating, is that the leader of the Magog Federation, and the Magog Federation is all Islamic nations, and it will be a unified Islamic assault against Israel. This battle is going to be fought beginning in early 2027 through probably the middle of 2029, 2030 in its various phases. Half the world population is going to die as a result of this war. The leader of the Magog Federation is spoken of as having an affinity with both Meshach and Tubal. And Meshach is a town that has an identity in eastern Turkey. And that all makes sense. 100% is Islamic, ruthless place. It's a place where, very near where the Garden of Eden is, under Lake Van. It is a a place where terrorism is rampant. But Tubal, if you look at the consonants, the only Tubal, T-B-L, that we know today would be Tbilisi. And it's in the Georgian Republic. And so there is a likelihood that this this Magog individual, this Gog of Magog, that this Islamic religious leader turned general. It's very much like in Syria today. The fellow that was appointed the general was an Islamic cleric over the Syrian rebels. So it'll be an Islamic cleric like this fellow in Syria, who will be given control of the unified Islamic armies. And he's going to have an affinity to some association with Tubal, which is the closest state city today would be Tbilisi, which is in the Georgian Republic. So there is some aspect of this that is interesting in terms of Georgia switching their vote. So all of this, the maneuverings of various nations to be on the wrong side as it relates to God. There is a reason that humankind in the tribulation and in the days prior to the tribulation, the vast proportion of humankind turns against God. As a matter of fact, there comes a time where God says their iniquity is full, and it's about the midpoint of the tribulation, which is not very far from now. That God says, you know, I've given you choice and free will, but at this point, I'm just going to jot it down that you either are with me or you're against me. And the last maybe 3 years of the tribulation, we're dealing with a period of time where everybody has chosen their side. And God, when Yahweh returns on the Day of Reconciliations in 2033 on our calendars, October 2nd, he is really angry. I mean, do you think that he's angry today? He's even angrier then, because the whole world has collectively, the vast preponderance of people, probably 99.9% of people, have overtly turned their animosity to his chosen people and to his promised land. And they have waged war after war trying to destroy it. And he is really irritated. As a matter of fact, there is affirmation in the prophetic testimony that says that if he were not to return at that time, mankind would destroy our planet and wipe out all life on it. And so just to protect his family, to protect his home, to protect his promised land, Yahweh returns on the Day of Reconciliations. But understand, this will not be a joyous event. This event will cause the vast preponderance of the world's people to be incinerated upon his return as they are. Hello and welcome back to Shattering Myths. Before we go to Jason, who is on hold at the moment, and he wants to comment on this UN vote, I did want to say that since I began this the first hour by saying there was a juxtaposition of stories that I found fascinating, I should at least mention the second story. It's also from Reuters. It says the Eurozone's crisis is far from over, and its members' effect is getting worse. And members must tighten its budgets and forge a banking union to leave behind the, quote, fairy world that allowed problems to grow, the European Central Bank president Mario Draghi said on Friday. The fairy world. He's calling this world of deficit spending and providing indulgences to people that make the people dependent upon their country, that their country cannot afford, and therefore is passing the cost of these indulgences on to their children in what I call economic pedophilia. He's calling that a fairy world. Let's call it a mythical world. And it is this mythical world that we witnessed take place with a 20-1 vote in favor of the myth of a Palestinian people, the myth of land for peace, the myth of rewarding terrorism, the myth of not recognizing that Muslims are conditioned to hate Jews and to kill them, and that nothing is going to change that. These things said, Jason, welcome to the program. I'd like you want to comment on the UN vote.
Yes, I do. Thank you, Yada, and bless you. Your indignation today is righteous. That's all I could say. And I just wanted to comment real quick and just say, if you watch that in real time, what happened in the UN yesterday, and
yes,
you look at the eyes of the people that got up there in support of this,
yes,
you could see the evil pouring through them.
Yeah.
Don't you agree?
Yeah, I agree. By the way, you know, righteous indignation is an interesting concept, Jason. Well, I don't consider myself righteous. The good news is Yahweh does consider me righteous because he has done what was required to make me appear perfect in his eyes.
Right.
And our perspective is righteous. Righteous is based on the word right. Our perspective is right when our perspective is grounded in his Torah teaching. When we view the world from his perspective, then our view is right. Now, indignation is also an interesting term. You know, if you were to read Paul, you'd say, you know, love doesn't get angry. Well, I beg to differ, and so does God. If you don't get angry at things that hurt your children, then you're not loving them.
Right.
And so it is appropriate to hate that which is destructive, to hate that which is evil, to hate that which hurts people. And this is extraordinarily hurtful to humankind. And if you don't get angry at that, then I think that you're incapable of loving. So I think in this particular case, your description, your two words are completely accurate. It is righteous indignation. And if you, and I sense it in you as well. And the thing is, if you don't share Jason's righteous indignation on what happened yesterday, then your perspective on who God is, what he wants, what he has done for us
is an accurate.
That is correct. Well,
yeah.
Spoken.
But thank you, Yada. And I could not believe my eyes. I was watching, if you watch the Palestinian, I don't know what you would call, delegation at the UN, peering at the man from Israel that got up
there.
Yeah. The hate.
Yeah.
You can just see it seethe within them.
Right.
And at this point, Yada, I'm going to tell you what this represents. The world now has turned its back on Yahweh.
Of course.
And they are flaunting it in front of us.
That is also correct.
And it just makes, I think that the children of Yahweh on this planet right now, there is what I said, a righteous indignation that is churning within their spirit.
Yes.
You know, and I really feel that the world's evil is getting full. And it's going to come to a point where it overflows and the cup goes over and Yahweh won't take it anymore.
And there's no hope for anyone. And to a large degree, Jason, and I really appreciate your call today. It's one of the best we've had on this program.
Bless you.
To a large degree, we are in a position where, as God's children, as people who are willing to speak out in favor of his perspective, of his Torah teaching, that we are becoming increasingly vulnerable. There's a reason that in the not too distant future, Yahweh is going to have to remove us from this planet, because the world's going to turn against us and vote against us and hate us as well. And we ought to wear that as a badge of honor, because it's the one thing that we can do that brings a smile to God's face, because God likes it when his children confront evil. We're at the end of the break. We'll be back with Yah's Torah. Hi, in a moment. I'm Yada, Shattering This.
Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country.